Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Rolando Ferreira, Mitch the Bitch Richmond, Joey Devine, Eric Lechner, Sylvester Gray, Sean Keen, Barry Sumter, special Patreons, Scott Carter Aldred, thank you, Scott. Peter Linham, thank you, Peter. Musical guest Paul Revere and the Raiders. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with an absolutely packed episode this week.
This is really a lot. Yeah.
I am so excited about this this episode. But first, before we get to that, some business. At Round Rock Pod on Twitter, at Round Rock Pod on Instagram, patreon.com/roundrockpod if you feel like giving us some of your terrible stimulus package later on this month. roundrockpod@gmail.com. Sean, how are you?
I'm all right, working from home. Are you staying at home, eating from home? Yeah.
Are you excited to watch Steph Curry talk to Dr. Fauci live on Instagram tomorrow?
I am. I'm a DJ D Nice man. Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
That is his name.
That's Joe Biden's favorite DJ?
Yeah, that is Joe Biden's favorite DJ's name.
But I'll make an exception. I'll put it in between my my Instagram live yoga workouts, my Instagram live open mic comedy sets. Throw in Steph and the doctor, and they go right into an Instagram live DJ dance party.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. But like I said, we've got a giant show this week. We've got magician Ben Sideman and host of the Scattered podcast, Chris Garcia. But first, before we get to that, we've got to do some news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Our one big piece of news is, of course, Paul Millsap's TikTok account.
That's true. you'd think that Paul Millsap is actually too old to have a TikTok account.
It's true. But
he's in the NBA, so he's automatically grandfathered in.
Well, I
and
guess
Paul Millsap probably is a grandfather.
He's probably He's probably too old to stream on Twitch, but not old enough. But just the right age for TikTok now, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's really, the age has to be spiking so much during this outbreak. I've seen a lot of people doing a lot of terrible dances recently.
We need to flatten the curve on the age of TikTok accounts. But
we're overwhelming America's resources right now.
More importantly, though, I do think it's a real testament to Paul Millsap that in a time when the NBA is not happening, he's figured out a way for me to be the most excited about him. He's my most exciting NBA player right now, because you know what he's doing on TikTok, Sean?
I do, but please tell me.
He's doing magic tricks.
Yes.
He makes things disappear on TikTok. And not like, I mean, I guess last year you could say he made the Kroenke's $20 million disappear, right? But look, we are not we're comedians, so we are not qualified to talk about magic tricks at all, which is why we've brought in an expert. Sean, we talked to a magician about Paul Millsap's magic. we found a friend of ours named Ben Seidman. He invented tricks for Chris Angel. He's been on Netflix's Brainchild. He was on Penn and Teller Fool Us. He's a real magician.
This guy's legit.
Yeah. So let's talk to him right now about these Paul Millsap magic tricks, baby. So we're here with Ben Seidman, who's a magician. You might recognize him from Penn and Teller Fool Us. Ben, did you fool Penn and Teller, or did they catch you?
You know, in the moment, they didn't hint enough for me to really know, and so I just kind of said, hey, thanks for having me, you guys know, but I didn't really know, and then I had dinner with Teller later, and I totally partially fooled them. I could have gotten the trophy if I had fought, but I respect those guys too much to... I respect those guys too much to, like, go up against them on their own show. So I was just stoked to do the show.
He's also from the Netflix show Brainchild. He helped Chris Angel mind freak us all by inventing his mind freak tricks. Ben, my one question I have for you about Chris Angel is the greatest trick that Chris Angel ever pulled making people think that nu metal is still cool?
My answer, yes.
But the reason we have a magician on the show is because, for those of you that don't know, the biggest news going on in the world right now is, of course, Denver Nuggets power forward Paul Millsap has a TikTok account, and this week he's posted two magic tricks. I'm hoping for more. I'm constantly refreshing Paul Millsap's TikTok account, which, by the way, is one of the worst named social media accounts I've ever seen. It's PM underscore baby joker 4.
That's an Onion article is what that is.
So what I did is I sent Ben Paul Millsap's two magic tricks, and I want to ask Ben, first off, is Paul Millsap any good at magic?
Well, first, let me start by saying that he's spent less time learning to do magic than I have trying to play basketball, and I am not good at basketball, so let's get that right out of the way first. Like, I hadn't even remembered playing basketball until we started this conversation. and I think that's because, you know, when you have an experience that's so traumatic that your brain blocks it out intentionally, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that happened because when we started talking, I remembered that I played basketball in sixth grade at Milwaukee Jewish Day School. So you can imagine how well that went. So, you know, I have a sordid past in basketball, so I can't down talk the guy too much because the more I think about that, the more I remember struggling. Like, the only mm-hmm. Jewish guy who's good at basketball is Adam Sandler, and he was not on our team. so that was super stressful for me. I remember, like, I was in sixth grade and the guy I was guarding was in eighth grade and he had been held back twice.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah, that guy's going to be better than you at basketball. Yeah, he's just be based really on good. Yeah. Age. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been
yeah,
spending his time not learning books.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like at that point I hadn't even really hit puberty and he had a full beard. You know, like I hadn't masturbated yet and this guy has been divorced twice. So it was like the entire time. And so I have this like and whenever I think of basketball, I just like I shudder it out. But I was willing to think about this because I was like, oh, this guy's doing magic. This is cool. So I was excited to see them. I was nervous that I would have to download TikTok to do that. But luckily, there are other sources
yeah, he
online.
Also double posts them to Instagram. So
yeah, thank God.
Look, people need to see these tricks, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was so let me say that I was pleasantly surprised. I was worried that it was going to be a train wreck. Normally when non-magicians do magic, it's just a disaster. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was a disaster. I think there's some good stuff there. I think he had some heart in it. Like, I love the fact that he did the trick with the coin with a French bulldog on his lap.
Yeah,
like,
he does make a coin disappear while having a French bulldog on his lap. Yeah, that is correct.
Genius. Like, magicians have been using doves for years, and like, everyone hates birds. No one likes birds. They're terrible, right? A French bulldog, great look for a trick. So yeah, I loved that about it. And I think that disappearing coin trick, I'm not gonna go into the method, of course. I don't wanna mm-hmm. tip this secret.
You'd be breaking the magician's code.
Yeah, you're not wearing a mask right now, like the masked magician, so you can't.
Well, I am. I'm wearing a surgical mask, but that's what's going on in the world. I'm at home and I'm wearing rubber gloves, but that's a different story. Look, the coin trick is well executed. I think it was good. I think the cheesy choice of magic music in the background is really great. and I think that trick looks awesome. I don't really have any notes. I think no notes. It's great.
All right. So that was his second foray into the world of magic.
Well, now by that time he's a pro, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right. Right. The expectations are a little higher. Yeah.
He's playing 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars in that one. Very loud. As is the style of TikTok.
and that's what magicians do, right? Just the loudest possible song that has magic in the title. That's the perfect soundtrack.
Well, if you're not good, yes, that's what you do. and that's not a judgment on him. I think that's a fine choice for him. I think if you are a professional magician and you're doing that, you should get hit by a car. But for him, I think it's great. And it works because, you know, he's not a professional magician. He's a professional basketball player who's great at his job.
Yeah.
This is just a side gig. But I wanted to talk about that one first because that one was my favorite of the two. I'm kind of I'm consuming Paul's magic tricks like the movie Memento. I'm starting at the end, working my way backwards through the two, which is his current body of work, which I think is you know, impressive for an amateur. So, yeah, I think that one's great.
Well, let's talk about, is it a match or a toothpick he makes disappear in his first trick then?
Who could say?
It's true. It's hard to tell. He makes a little wooden stick disappear in his first trick. And I'm guessing, Ben, based on how you frame this, you have more critiques of that trick.
Yeah.
Well, I really think that... So this trick is... Neither of these are really hard from a sleight of hand standpoint, mm-hmm. obviously. This one's a little bit harder. It requires a little bit more thought in the moment when performing it. And there's just like a couple of little tweaks that he could make that would take this from where it is to being, I think, really, really great. That being said, I don't think it's bad. I think it totally works. And it's kind of what you'd expect if someone who doesn't actually do this started learning the tricks.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you just adjusted a couple little tiny things, it would take it from, I would say, a strong C plus B minus all the way up to an A.
Hey, wow, okay. Look, C plus for someone's first magic trick is still pretty good, I think.
Uh-huh. Dude, he's wearing a striped shirt and a striped hat. One of them is horizontal, one of them is vertical. And that's like, I don't know if that's supposed to be misdirection, but it kind of works.
So the main thing I wanted to ask is, so Paul Millsap is a very, how do I say this while being nice? He's a very boring basketball player in that he doesn't really do anything fancy on the court.
Right.
He's a very fundamental player.
Yeah, he famously, there's a point when he...
Well, I want to... We'll talk about Streetball Paul in a minute, if that's what you were going to bring up, Sean. Because my next question is going to be about Streetball Paul. Uh-huh. But, so I wanted to ask... First off, is how are his fundamentals as a magician?
I mean, I think the fundamentals are all there, which is not a good sign for the art of magic. But I say this because anyone can just kind of learn a couple of really easy to do tricks and just kind of get through them. And you know, and that's part of the problem where, you know, most magicians. It's hard to go from fine to great. That's a giant leap. But I think the fundamentals are, look, he likes what he's doing. He's stoked about it. He wants to share it with people. He had a great choice of material, which is great. He didn't try to learn something that was way too hard. You know, he started where he should with some basic tricks. So I think the fundamentals are all there, and I'm curious, you know, how that translates to him as a b-ball player. Obviously, that's more your area of expertise than mine. So, I mean, does that hold true for him on the court?
Absolutely. because the next thing I wanted to bring up is Paul Millsap, again, very boring basketball player. A few years ago, he was going to play in the All-Star game. And the All-Star game is a place where you don't want to be boring. And he gave a real long interview where he was like, no, I'm going to prove I'm not boring. I'm going to go from being Paul Millsap to, and then he dubbed himself Streetball Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. His whole real thing as a basketball player is like, well, this guy, he doesn't need to dunk. He's just going to play defense. He's going to do the right stuff, but no flash.
Yeah,
really.
And then he declared he was in an All-Star game. He was going to become Streetball Paul and do a lot of flashy stuff, and then proceeded to do zero flashy things in said All-Star game. I think he had like 2 points and a rebound.
Yeah, he was just whipping the ball around out there and not really shooting himself. Yeah.
So
maybe by Streetball Paul, maybe when he was trying to bring in more streetball, what he meant by that was he was going to spend more time just kind of like hanging out and chatting with his friends, maybe like drinking a Gatorade. I don't know. When I picture streetball, I imagine it's a little less serious. Mm-hmm. So that's probably not what he was getting at.
Calling next. That's what he'd spent most of the game doing.
Just doing random layups when it's not his time to have the ball, just to kill time.
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to give him a magic name similar to Streetball Paul.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask Ben, what is a better nickname for this this iteration of Paul Millsap? Is it Prestige Paul or Street Magic Paul?
I mean, if he really wants to like go hard on the alliteration, he could legally change his name to Jack to try to get the rhyme to sort of work and go from Street Ball Paul to Street Magic Jack. I mean, you could do something.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Something like that. But like, to be perfectly honest with you, Street Ball Paul sounds like a magician's name. If I was at the Magic Castle and if I was at the Magic Castle in Hollywood and someone said, "This is my friend Street Ball Paul. He does a sick silk vanish," I'd be like, "Yeah, that checks out."
Yeah, right.
So the another thing I wanted to ask you is Paul Millsap has, of course, because he's a giant man, he has giant hands. Is that Is that good for Magic or bad for Magic?
Oh, that is a huge advantage. Mm. I have tiny little koala paws, and so I've had to work that much harder to be an advanced sleight of hand performer. When you have really big hands, it allows you. It's like more tools in your toolbox almost. Mm-hmm. So he has more potential, I think, to learn some knuckle busters, as we call them in the business, pieces of sleight of hand that are actually like really difficult. I actually think he might have the hands to do it. I don't know if he wants to put in the time, but you know, Paul, if you are listening to this right now, I am willing to give you some Skype lessons pro bono because
oh my God.
You seem like a cool guy. And as much as I've been kidding around, I do comedy in my show. This is what I do. I think that it's awesome that you're putting magic into the world. And if you want some tips without all the jokes, I'd be happy to throw a couple your way.
That is an amazing offer.
Awesome. And it might happen. You never know who's going to hear this. And also, he's got some time right now.
You know what I mean?
Like he's.
The only thing that I would ask in return is that I get one video for his TikTok, because I don't have one, of him lifting me up into the air so I can dunk. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Literally all I want in return.
Well, I think that is a perfect place to end this conversation. Ben, do you want to give Paul Millsap your Twitter handle if you have one?
Yeah, I mean, Paul, I'm on Instagram more than Twitter, so you can just DM me. And my name is Ben Seidman, B-E-N, and the last name is S-E-I-D-M-A-N. So just at Ben Seidman. If you DM me, Paul, one, it will completely blow my mind. But two, I would be happy to send you some tricks, teach you some new ones, give you some tips, and get this second career of yours off the ground, man.
Do you have an idea for a trick, the first trick you'd like to teach him? Like, what's it called?
Oh, that's a great question. I haven't thought about that. If we were actually being serious here and I was going to coach him, I would spend some time thinking about it. I would actually ask him some questions to figure out some things about him to try to craft the best next thing for him to learn that would be the easiest thing for him, where he's at, his hands, and, you know, so that his success rate is really strong and he feels confident to blow all his fans' minds.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Ben. We'll come back to you with any other Magic-related NBA questions.
Oh, I cannot
in the future.
We could see other guys try this.
Yeah, yeah, oh, for sure. Look, the NBA, it's full of guys with giant hands, and if that is one of the best assets for Magic, you never know. These guys might just be constantly pumping out tricks.
I mean, it's a good place to start if you have big hands. I mean, they could put us all out of business. And also, just to, like, you know, all kidding aside, there's only a handful of black magicians out there that I know. There's uh-huh. like, room in the marketplace. Like, Magic is lacking diversity in a kind of disgusting way. I would love to see this guy actually, I mean, if Paul actually got super serious and started doing more of these, I'd be thrilled.
Dude, that would be the greatest second career, like second act of an NBA player's career ever.
Oh my God, he could schedule a tour schedule around his games. Like, does a game, and then he goes and does a showroom at night. That would crush.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ben. Can you tell our listeners where they can see more of you?
Well, whenever I do magic tricks on TV, I post them on my YouTube channel. So if you just look for Ben Seidman on YouTube, I've got a little channel. You can check out some of the videos I've made. And also, if you want to reach out, just say hi on Instagram.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. What an excellent talk with Ben Seidman, Sean. I hope more NBA players do magic tricks so we can talk to him on the show more. And again, if you're listening, Paul Millsap, take him up. Get the free coaching.
He's out there. He's on Instagram. He's on YouTube. He's easy to find.
Now, Sean, we have to talk about mybookie.ag. Sean, March has arrived, and it's time to score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. They offer live betting on lots of things, not necessarily games, even though sports aren't going. But Sean, did you know you can bet on almost anything, including the Democratic nomination, the presidential election, even the name of the next pope? MyBookie caters to all players. Whether you research each matchup or fill out your bracket based on the mascots, MyBookie has something for you. And you know what, Sean? I've been looking around, and I think I found the bet for you on MyBookie.ag. Are you ready for this?
I'm excited.
It's what rapper will replace Flavor Flav in Public Enemy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do you know? Because remember, Bernie Sanders broke up Public
broke
Enemy?
Up Public Enemy. One of his mates. He's trying to break up the banks. He's trying to break up Public Enemy.
Do you know who's leading on the board right now? Your leader's somebody like, weird, I think.
I would, okay, if I had to guess, I'm a Humpty Hump from Digital Underground.
No, that would be tight, though. Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys is minus 200.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to join Public Enemy.
What are Mike D's odds?
Mike D is way lower. So, some other favorites include Ice-T at plus 175. Be Real from Bone Thugs and Harmony at plus 200.
No, he's from Cypress.
Or
he's
from Cypress Hill, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
At plus 200. I meant that for some reason. KRS-One at plus 250.
Okay, that would be amazing.
Slick Rick at plus 300.
Okay.
You know what I think the best bet on the board is, though?
What's that?
Flava Flav returns for plus 325.
Yeah, man, if he just goes to rehab or something, it's not like...
Mike D has the same odds as Africa Baby Bam at plus 275.
So, I mean, if Bernie Sanders is no longer running for president, either because he is the president or he's a senator again, doesn't that remove a lot of the tension, apparently? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm pulling it up right now.
So here are
I'll tell you this. Kanye West is not going to join.
Yeah, Kanye West is at plus 450. Mos Def also not joining Public Enemy.
He is not plus
425. You know who might join Public Enemy though and is plus 425?
Who's that?
Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine.
It wouldn't be the craziest thing I'd ever heard. Aren't they reuniting?
Yes, they are.
Okay, here's a bet I like. plus 650, Biz Markie.
Here's the one I really like, though. First off, Lauryn Hill is plus 1250.
Oh, my God.
She can't show up for Lauryn Hill concerts. I don't think she's going to show up to be Flavor Flav. But here is easily my favorite bet on the board. Are you ready? First off. Sorry, I just saw the Fresh Prince on here at plus 1800. I don't think he's going to do it.
I do think you're throwing your money away if you think Will Smith is going to join Public Enemy.
But the one I like, it's not even on the board anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah?
At one point, a hologram of Tupac was on the board, and it had better odds than a hologram of Flava Flav.
That's incredible. For some reason, you can bet on Scott Ian of Anthrax. Did they do a song together on the Judgment Night soundtrack?
I believe they did. Yeah, that's okay, probably so that's there. Why do you think Play is on here at plus 2400 but not Kid?
Kid is on here. His odds are just much better. He's plus 1500.
I personally would bet on Flava Flav returning at plus 325.
Yeah. That seems like the best. I love the MF Doom bet, though.
Yeah.
That's almost as weird as Scott Ian of Anthrax joining.
Other things you can bet on. You can bet on TV shows. You can bet on who's going to die on Ozark. Yeah, first to perish on Ozark.
That's a cool bet, I gotta say. Also, you can bet on which movie studio has the first coronavirus movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader is Warner Brothers, nudging out Disney very slightly. I agree with that.
Well, anyway, visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ROUNDROCK for 50% deposit bonus. Just because sports isn't happening doesn't mean you don't have to bet on bet on things. That's promo code ROUNDROCK. You get a 50% deposit bonus. Sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? MyBookie pays fast when you win, with decades of experience, great customer service, and hassle-free transactions. Why would you bet anywhere else? That's MyBookie.ag, promo code ROUNDROCK. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie, and a hologram of Flava Flav.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to talk to our friend Chris Garcia from the Scattered podcast, which was the best podcast of the last year by far. Better than this one.
What? I mean, yes. Yes, it was.
It was produced with WNYC. Chris is one of our oldest friends.
He's possibly the only podcast my mom has ever listened to.
Yeah.
Certainly she's never listened to all the episodes of anything else. Again, including this one, which has nearly 200 episodes.
But last week, we decided without March Madness, it was up to us to decide who the college basketball champion is. We had Josh Androsky on, and we figured out that the first half of the bracket for the Final Four will be John Tesh,
mm-hmm.
Entertainment Tonight host. Musical genius. Invented the name of this podcast.
Wrote the theme song for Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah. Versus Gary Webb, tragic reporter. Who figured out that the CIA was indirectly and directly responsible for the crack cocaine epidemic in the U.S. But we need to figure out the second half of our bracket. And that's what Chris Garcia is here for. So we did that. Here's us and Chris talking March Madness Part 2. Last week, you heard it. We were here with Josh Androsky. We did the first half of the bracket. But it's time to continue to decide who won this year's college basketball championship. We're here with one of my best friends, one of the great podcasters in the world, actually.
I'll hush that fuss.
Chris Garcia from the Scattered podcast. Chris, hey. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to help you make history today. Yeah.
Have you ever made history before?
No, I've built a mystery before, but I have never made history before. So, yeah.
So the way this is going to work, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I took the low seeds and picked an alumni, although a lot of times they didn't actually graduate. They were just sort of hanging around like John Hinckley Jr. in Texas Tech. Sean took the high seeds. And Sean, should we start at the Midwest bracket?
Wait, are you guys super nerds? Am I going to have to bring Google into this sometimes?
No. We'll explain it.
I think either you will know the person or... I mean, we're trying to pick a good alumni who's going to win, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's John Hinckley Jr.?
He tried to kill Ronald Reagan in the 80s. Right. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Jared Leto got really fat and played him in a terrible movie.
Okay, good, great. I'll pull up Google. All right, let's do it.
All right, so Sean, let's start at the Midwest, right?
Yeah, let's start at the Midwest bracket.
So our first matchup is number one Kansas versus number 16 Siena. I had the 16 seed, and no actual famous people went to Siena. But a fictional character did, and I think she's going to be difficult to beat in this tournament. Starting for number 16 Siena is Detective Olivia Benson from the Special Victims Unit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow. I think the most famous real person from Siena is Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA.
Yeah.
Okay.
He creates. Yeah, he creates a lot of special victims. So I had Kansas here, and look, it was very tempting to take Dr. James Naismith, the inventor of basketball itself. Bob Dole is ineligible because he was actually on the basketball team, and we're not picking any athletes.
Yep.
Ah. And while I was very tempted to go with Paul Rudd, everyone's favorite, I'm going with Broadway legend Mandy Patinkin. Daryl Morey, go on round ball.
This is, I'm going to say, this is a much harder choice right off the bat for our friend, comedian, podcaster, writer, Chris Garcia. Chris.
Man, at first I thought this was a switch. I thought this was like, oh God, Olivia Benson's good. I mean, how can you beat her? It's impossible. And it might be misogynistic and anti-feminist to beat her, but I mean, Mandy Patinkin. The man looks good in tights. The guy is like, I mean, the way he's aged in Homeland.
He's Battleship Patinkin, baby.
He's Battleship, and he's also has, his name is just beautiful. Like, if you don't even know what Mandy Patinkin looks like, and you hear the name Mandy Patinkin, and you're asked to draw Mandy Patinkin, you would draw Mandy Patinkin, no problem. He's got a lady's name. So that's pretty, I mean, the guy's an ally. I'm going to give it to Mandy Patinkin.
I think that's the right choice. I think he's going to be tough to beat. He is truly a number one seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had to quit Criminal Minds because it was too violent for him. He played Inigo Montoya. And
legend.
George in Sunday in the Park with George. Come on.
Enigma Montoya. Well, you know, it's a strike. He's taking a job from a Latino actor. Not bulletproof. He is not bulletproof. So maybe quell your high hopes for the number one seed here.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. You put a bullet hole in your own guy here.
All right, so here we go. We're moving on to number 2, Creighton versus number 15, Little Rock. I had Little Rock, and the only famous person who actually went there was Derek Fisher, and fuck Derek Fisher. So I went with Julie.
Many wives have.
Julie Adams, the star of the original The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, so number 2, Creighton. Four and number 2 does not have a lot of famous alumni. Some of the choices were the bass player from Cursive and an astronaut who exploded. So I'm going with murdered DNC staffer Seth Rich.
Oh my God. Oh wow. This is what can I say about this? Is a complicated. I thought it was gonna be like Seth Rogen versus Bill Nye the Science Guy or some shit like this. Now, this is tough. I mean, Creature of the Black Lagoon doesn't do a lot for me. I mean, I've taken a shower in the last 5 days. I wear more than just t-shirts. I've never had a ponytail. Not doing a lot for me here. Seth Rich, I'm going to go R.I.P. Seth Rich. Sean, you're on a roll.
All right. Well, I'm feeling good about my chances here, I'm going to say. We've got number 3 Seton Hall versus number 14 Eastern Washington. And Eastern Washington had some pretty good ones. I could have went Colin Coward. I could have went Cooper Kupp. But... none of those motherfuckers created Spawn, so I went with Todd McFarlane, baby. The man who bought all the home run balls. The dumbest, the dumbest cartoon drawer in the world, Todd McFarlane. If cocaine could draw Spider-Man, that's who I chose. Sean, who did number three Seton Hall have?
Seton Hall did not have wonderful alumni. Dick Vitale is ineligible. I almost went with Governor Chris Christie. I almost went with Robert Dobby. I went with West Wing and Psych star Dulé Hill.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's Dulé. Oh,
I would like to point out, Dulé Hill did not create Spawn and does not own these steroid home run balls.
Oh man, I love Dulé Hill, and he's just got a face that is so human that you just want in an actor. But he didn't draw something. He didn't draw something that, like, you know, coming up with something that looks like Deadpool fucked Chris Angel is a special place. It is special. It is a special person. So I'm going to have to give it to Todd on this one.
Yeah, baby.
The Todd McFarlane caricature, cartoon freak. I think he takes it. He takes it.
All right, that moves us on to number four, Wisconsin, versus number 13, North Texas. I had North Texas, and look, I could have went Roy Orbison.
Ooh,
I could have went Dr. Yeah. Phil.
Oh, wow.
But you know who I went instead?
Who?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, baby!
Oh, baby. Oh, man.
I really thought you were going to pick... My prediction was that you were going to choose vampire author Anne Rice.
I did think about it.
So, my choices here... almost went with Michael Mann, almost went with Frank Lloyd Wright, but eventually, in a narrow choice, I picked the Zucker Brothers from Wisconsin. I almost picked Errol Morris, and then I was like, why don't I be honest with myself and what I truly enjoy? It's the Zucker Brothers.
Oh my God.
So that's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus the guys who created Airplane and the Naked Gun.
Oh, man, I love those movies. I mean, I watched Naked Gun the other day, and it's like this pandemic never happened. That's how much I love that movie and Leslie Nielsen. But unfortunately, the Zucker Brothers website isn't called BrokenSkullRanch.com, which is... Steve Austin could have gone with SteveAustin.com. Steve Austin could have gone with Austin316. He was like, that's my past life. I'm BrokenSkullRanch.com, and that's why he... To me, right now, he's a breakaway contender. I think he's good. He can go deep. At least to the Elite Eight. That's what I'm saying.
All right. That moves us on to number 12, Liberty, versus number 5, Auburn. And I had Liberty, and you know what? This was a difficult one, because that is not a real school.
Is it a Grand Theft Auto University?
Kinda, yeah. But
the Grand Theft is, like, from the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah. But I did find out he's one of Vegas's biggest stars. He's definitely America's Got Talent's biggest star. He's a man whose puppets are less racist than Jeff Dunham's. Terry Fedor, the ventriloquist. You might know him from ads in the Burbank airport.
Oh, yeah. I fly out of Burbank to do shows all the time, and it makes me regret being a comedian every time I see his face holding that microphone surrounded by those... They're kind of perverted-looking puppets.
They are definitely perverted.
They look like they're
puppets.
Horny, and he has sex with them. I mean, Sean, you could basically pick Osama bin Laden and you would win this round. But what do you got?
So Auburn, I have Auburn. They have a lot of people. You know, I was very tempted to go with Jimmy Buffett. Tim Cook of Apple is ineligible because he and Kevin Durant hang out and he probably has the coronavirus right now. I went with a different great Jimmy. I went with Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia.
Oh, man. Well, how else would I know who most of these people are without Jimmy Wales? So I'm going to have to give this one to Jimmy. Jimmypedia. He could have called it Jimmypedia. He didn't. His nickname is Jimbo. His middle name is Donald. No D. It's Jimmy Donald Wales. And how do I know that? By looking it up on his fucking website, Wikipedia. This guy's coming in strong. He is strong. I give this to Jimmy Wales. No problem.
All right, that moves us on to number 11, Indiana versus number 6, BYU. I had Indiana, and I think this guy's going to be tough to beat. He beat out the most famous crossword puzzle designer, Will Shorts. But I went with Jonathan Banks, the man who plays Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad.
Oh man, that's amazing.
Sean, who does BYU have at number 6?
Wicker Man director Neil LaBute.
God, this is so tough. Oh my God, the Wicker Man. Oh, I've seen so many clips from that, and it's the bees, Oh, this is really tough. I really thought it was going to be impossible to beat Mike because he's a legend. And I mean, if I was on a deserted island, I would want Mike with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also probably watch The Wicker Man every day to make me feel better. I'm going to go with Jonathan Banks here.
Good choice because Neil LaBute is
one. I meant Neil LaBute. I'm sorry. I messed that up.
One of Hollywood's great misogynists goes through. All right.
You got to let a player play. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, look, you're in the company of men now.
Yeah, you are in the company of men.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I kind of take that one back, but I'll stand by it.
All right, we have number 7, Providence, versus number 10, Arizona State, next. I had Arizona State, and I almost went Linda Ronstadt.
Ooh, an angel from heaven.
There was another angel from heaven who went to Arizona State. She invented a machine that hugs cows. And people, fucking Temple Grandin, baby. Temple Grandin starting for Arizona State.
Wait, Temple Grandin? Okay, got it. Okay, word.
So I went with Providence. I almost picked a double Oscar winner, Peter Farrelly. But I went with David Angel, creator of Frasier and Wings, who died in 9/11.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Keith, pulling at my heartstrings. Okay, so this round is difficult.
This is like a sentimentality round.
We have, an inventor, a professor, a best-selling author, rock star,
most famous autistic
autism,
person.
Autism spokesperson here versus the man who created Frasier Crane. You know what? I love Frasier. I'm going to go with David Angel.
I think that's the right choice.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, he died in 9/11. to be on one of those planes, to be piloting one of those planes, and to work on Frasier. I mean, that's amazing to jump in that cockpit and be the only white Taliban guy on that crew. Must be very difficult on him and his family. The man, I mean, he's an angel. I say give it to him. I say give him the whole damn thing. What he did for our country.
All right. That leads us to the last of our opening round games in this bracket. St. Mary's number at 8 versus Rutgers at 9. I had Rutgers, and I think this is maybe my strongest contender in the entire bracket. For Rutgers, I am starting Tony Soprano himself, James motherfucking Gandolfini, wow. Baby.
Wow. Amazing.
Okay, so I had St. Mary's, and I almost went for Mahershala Ali, the basketball player, great actor, but I went with a better basketball player and a better actor from that same team. Comedian Reggie Stevens.
Oh, man. Let me put it like this. Wow, that's tough. I mean...
So Sean went with our friend, Reggie Steele, who is up against one of the greatest actors of all time, James Gandolfini.
You know, if this was a contest to vote who looked like they smelled like salami without being in the same room as them, you know, I would go with James Gandolfini. I've never seen The Sopranos. I have seen Reggie Steele wear his hat backwards and do great stand-up comedy on stage. I'm sorry. I'm going to give this to Reggie. I'm going to give this to Reggie. He asked me a million times. I won't budge from it. Reggie Steele, comedian Reggie Steele, former. But wait. He played basketball.
He did.
And he played college basketball, and he played overseas in Croatia. Or, correct me if I'm wrong, he played in Mipos, where Balki is from. Does that disqualify him?
Joey, is he disqualified? I'm not sure.
I think he's disqualified.
Oh no. What a bracket buster.
I'm okay, sorry, well, then, Reggie.
I also cannot choose Mahershala Ali then.
Uh-huh.
For the same reason. Hold on.
Sean, you have 12 seconds to come up with a replacement.
All right, we're going to go with Matthew Dellavedova and Patty Mills are both ineligible. We are going to go with Poet Laureate Robert Haas.
Oh, my God. My favorite teacher from Berkeley. He was the best professor that we had. He is a Poet Laureate. He's a genius, really. And he kind of looks like a half Bernie Sanders, half Elton John. And he kind of had that same energy. And one time we had a class with 200 students in it, you know, it was just like a lower level class. And on the first day he called roll, he went through every person's last name and asked us questions about it and tried to guess where we were. And it did kind of feel like racial profiling. So I'm going to go back to James Gandolfini.
Hell yeah, baby.
I love Robert Haas, though, but I'm going to give it to Gandolfini over here.
All right. So that brings us to, we got to move this bracket along. David Angel, the guy who created Frasier and Wings and died in 9/11, versus Seth Rich.
Oh, man, two dead guys. you know, how did Seth Rich die?
Well, they both were really killed by the Clintons, right?
I mean,
both of these guys.
I mean, okay, I'm
went out like Vince Foster, right? The same guy. Chelsea Clinton.
Let's see. Well, wait. I'm gonna go with David Angel on this one again. I think it's just too strong. I mean, Frasier and the Wings. Way he flew it. He actually flew into both towers. I don't know if you knew this, but they thought it couldn't be, but he flew into both of them. And so I'm gonna give it to David Angel. He's advancing.
All right, our next round is definitely two white dudes who have problems with women. Neil LaBute versus Todd McFarlane, the guy who created Spawn.
Oh my god. Well, Neil LaBute looks like if you dropped a bar of soap in a prison shower. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna give it to Todd.
Yeah,
I think it's yeah.
All right, so that brings us to number five Auburn versus number 13 North Texas. Jimmy Wales, the creator of Wikipedia, versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a very difficult choice because you're looking at Wikipedia.com.
Mm-hmm.
Is it .org?
I don't know. I know they constantly talk about it being a nonprofit. It is .org. It is .org.
Yeah, that's shady, dude. They're trying to pretend like this shit's a nonprofit. asking me for $3 or $4 once a year so I could fucking look up Erica Badu's birthday. Yeah, and then what? You know, Steve. At least fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Is straight up with saying that his Broken Skull Ranch website is brokenskullranch.com. He's not trying to pretend he's a nonprofit. He's just a burly ass American man, and that's why he's advancing to the next round.
Hell yeah, dude. Austin 316. All right. And
Joey is like drinking two beers at once. That's crazy.
All right. And now I think this is the hardest matchup we have had in the entire tournament so far. We have two beloved actors. We've got Mandy Patinkin versus James Gandolfini.
Oh, man. This is tough. I see. I've never gotten past the second episode of The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried several times. I think it's what I might be doing for the next couple months.
You're gonna love it.
Is watching so good. The Sopranos.
Best show ever.
That's what people say, you know. I thought it was Mike and Molly, but I guess I'm wrong. but have either of them been on Mike and Molly? That's the question. if one of them has, I would say, I bet you Mandy Patinkin's got the range. He's got the range to be in that show. But now I'm stuck on this Enigma Montoya thing. You know, that role could have gone to Jimmy Trejo. Smith. It could have gone to Jimmy Smith. You know, Jimmy Smith and make those tights sing, girlfriend. I'm going to give this to Gandolfini because I am with our Italian brothers right now, and Gandalf it means wizard in Italian. So I am going to go with, I'm going to give this to Jimbo Gandolfini, y'all. R.I.P.
You know, he did die in Italy too. So
yeah. See, I'm doing it. Doing it from our Italian brothers and sisters and listeners out there. Yeah.
All right. That brings us to, Todd McFarlane, the creator of Spawn, versus David Angel, the creator of Frasier, who died in 9/11.
Yo, Taliban till I die, David Angel. You're going to the big show, baby.
All right. Gandolfini versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, boy, this is a matchup.
Oh, man, America. So much America versus Italy. But guess where I live? I live in the USA, Stone Cold. You're moving on to the big show.
All right, and that, to make the final four, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus David Angel, the man who created Wings and died in 9/11.
Uh-oh. It's USA versus the Taliban. I got to go with our brown brothers and sisters overseas. David Angel!
Chris, I'm listening.
You're going all the way. I am listening. I am ISIS, and I am listening.
That's another, you know what? Last week, we had Gary Webb, tragic figure, make it all the way to the final four. And this week we've got David Angel. What a beautiful country we live in. Sean, what do you think Jim Nance would say when David Angel advanced to the final four?
Wait, say that again?
What do you think, what would Jim Nance's line be for David Angel advancing to the final four?
Okay. in a tournament that has been heavenly, the Final Four just got an angel.
All right, that brings us to the Southeast bracket. How you feeling, Chris? How you feeling? Good?
Well, I hear the brackets calling, David Angel and Scrambled X. Let's do this.
All right. Our first matchup, we have number one Baylor versus number 16 Winthrop. And Winthrop literally has one single famous person that ever went there, and that is Andy McDowell. Sean, who from Baylor is going up against Miss Four Weddings and a Funeral?
You know, I didn't realize that Terry Fader would be in the tournament. I went with Jeff Dunham, the most reprehensible man from Baylor. And yes, I know that college basketball player murdered his teammate, but they're both ineligible. So I went with the worst remaining person, Jeff Dunham, racist puppeteer.
Let's make it interesting. Dunham, you're moving on.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Also, I want to mention that for no reason at all, my mom has had a deep loathing for Andy McDowell to the point that once someone brought her up at dinner and she was just like, ugh, that bitch. I'm like, what? Where does that come from? I think she didn't like her character in the movie Michael. But as far as we know, Andy McDowell is a wonderful person.
Yeah, I'm on Team Shaz on this one. Shaz Keen can do no wrong in my book.
All right, that brings us to number 15, North Dakota State versus number 2, Kentucky. For North Dakota State, I almost went Ilhan Omar, but instead I went with Alf Clausen, the composer for The Simpsons.
Oh, man. That's tough. I mean, his name's Alf.
Yeah.
That's all I really
He wrote the monorail song. Sean, who is Kentucky starting?
They're starting actor Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, no!
Oh, man. I mean, Paris, Texas. I mean, Harry Dean's gonna couldn't go all the way.
Yeah, for sure, he's, dude.
He's got Final Four energy. R.I.P. I thought he died recently, but he died 3 years ago. But he also died 25 years ago. I'm going to go with Harry Dean Stanton. He's amazing. I love him. He can do no wrong in my book.
All right. Then we have number 3, Duke versus number 14, Belmont. I had Belmont. I could have went Trisha Yearwood, but you know what? Not funny enough. So we're starting DJ Qualls, baby. America's weirdest looking white man.
DJ Qualls.
From Road Trip. From Hustle and Flow. From other teen movies in the 90s.
He's got the name of a DJ and the face of a Gummo character. He's eating spaghetti in a bathtub face. He's got that type of...
I thought he was the kid from Gummo when I saw him. that kid broke out.
Oh, yeah. That's tragic. I mean, okay. Good for character acting, I guess. Who you got, Keen?
So Duke has a lot of horrible, horrible people. Let me just give you a short list. Richard Nixon, Whitewater prosecutor Ken Starr, Tucker Max, Stephen Miller, Dr. Ken Jeong. So just the worst people in the world all went to Duke. So I had to pick the one redeeming person I could find, and I went with Nick Galifianakis, Zach Galifianakis' congressman uncle.
Oh man, what are his politics, Dina?
he's a Democrat, which is why he did not stay in office that long.
So let's see, he's also a cartoonist.
That's weird.
Does he have a twin? Okay. You know, I feel bad for DJ Qualls. I mean, I shouldn't. He's in good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does say on his Wikipedia page. I'm sorry, Jimmy Wales, that I kicked you out, and I'm still using your website. But unfortunately, Steve, BrokenSkullRanch.com does not have that much information about it. DJ Qualls says that he's an actor, producer, and model. Go fuck yourself. It's Nick Galifianakis, everybody. Nick, you are moving on.
I'm sorry, he is actually he's not a cartoonist. There's a separate political, separate Nick Galifianakis, who is his nephew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, so this is,
He's married to the lady who writes a column that only runs alongside comics, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that doesn't change anything for me. I'm sticking with Nick and on this.
All right, now we're moving on to number 13, Akron, versus number 4, Louisville. I had Akron, and you know what? The only real famous people that went to Akron were the Black Keys, but the Black Keys are not for Joey. So you know who's starting for Akron? Nurse Mary E. Gladwin, a Red Cross nurse who nursed in 3 wars, the Spanish-American War, the Russo-Japanese War, and World War I. One of America's most famous nurses, but not famous enough where anyone knows her name.
Jesus. Wow, that's how much you hate the Black Keys. Wild.
I gotta say something to the Black Keys. How you like me now?
The Black Keys are kind of like if a Target t-shirt started a band. And, but so I respect Mary Gladwin. What do you got, Keen?
You know, I almost went with crime novelist Sue Grafton, who writes the AAS for Alibi Stories, but I went with James Patterson instead. No, not the James Patterson who writes mystery stories, the founder of Long John Silver's.
Wow. Well, I think that's more impressive than being on the front lines of 3 wars. So I'm going to give this to James Patterson. I mean, come on. What kind of, if you can name your own restaurant, your own fish restaurant, and you name it Long John Silver's, you have like that beautiful mind, except for with letters on a chalkboard and like a piece of fried fish as an inspiration, and you came up with Long John Silver. I mean, he can take it all the way in my book.
All right, number 12, Stephen F. Austin versus number 5, Ohio State. I had Stephen F. Austin. And Stephen F. Austin had Don Henley, which I think means Stephen F. Austin was one of the Boys of Summer.
Okay, so Ohio State, there were two great Steins that went to Ohio State, R.L. and Roy Licton, but ultimately I had to go with Kim Deal.
Kim Deal? Oh no, this is a real ringer for Garcia. So it's Kim Deal.
God. Do you even have to
from
ask?
The Pixies versus Don Henley from the fucking Eagles? Oh no.
Oh, sorry. Welcome to the Hotel California, Don. You are you're staying in there, buddy. You're not going. You're not leaving this bracket. You're not leaving this seat. Kim. Uh-oh. Kim's coming in like a cannonball, everybody. She is rolling along.
All right. Number 6, Iowa versus number 11, East Tennessee State. For East Tennessee State, I went with... He's one of the members of the Revenge of the Nerds. He was 30-something. He directed episodes of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Actor Timothy Busfield, baby.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You know, and I had...
Also, he was on the West Wing. I should also point that out.
Here I was very tempted. Iowa has a lot of great authors, John Irving and Flannery O'Connor, but I went with perhaps a more acclaimed writer, Tom Arnold.
Man, you could have gone with Ashton Kutcher's twin brother, but you went with Tom Arnold. You know, my wife went to Iowa. I went to the Rose Bowl, where Iowa played Stanford, and Stanford trounced Iowa, and the Stanford assholes were just like talking mass shit, and they were being super brats during the first half of the game, and Tom Arnold somehow got into the announcer's booth and went on this huge rant and told Stanford to go fuck themselves. And I'm going to have to give it to the guy. The guy's a weirdo. There's something about him. That day, he really won me over.
Oh. He's got a lot of powerful energy, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. That's called cocaine, and it's still in the system. And
even though he hasn't done it for, like, 20 years.
It's still in there. There's still some down by his – he's went up his nose, but – I'm sure there's still some down by his ankles and his calves. He's got reserves down there. I don't know how the bloodstream works. But, I'm going to go with Tom Arnold.
All right. So that brings us to number 7, Illinois, versus number 10, USC. I had a lot of strong choices here for USC. I could have went LeVar Burton. I could have went Dr. Drew. I could have went OJ. I could have went Judge Wapner, but instead, or I also could have went Olivia Jade Giannulli, who I almost went with, but instead, I went with Gary Dean Anderson,
TV's MacGyver?
No. He's the man who designed the international symbol for recycling. And I was looking it up, and this is a crazy-ass story. This guy, he was, like, 22 years old. He saw a poster that was, like, submit a symbol for recycling, and we'll give you $2,000. And he did it, and then never graphic designed anything ever again.
Wow.
Wow.
Contest winner, Gary Dean Anderson. Sean, who is Illinois going up against with the man who designed the international symbol for recycling?
We almost went with Roger Ebert here, but I picked Shel Silverstein.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Okay, here's the thing. Gary Dean Anderson did come up with an iconic symbol once. Never did it again. We're talking about a one-hit wonder versus Shel Silverstein putting up bangers left and right. We're going with Shel Silverstein, baby. We are going with Shel Silverstein. Also, when I was a little kid, his headshot, he was a black and white picture, he was bald, he has a beard, but was he ever wearing a shirt? In my head, it always looked like he was never wearing a shirt, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
His headshots always looked so fucked up, though. He looked scary.
Oh, you want to see something scary? How about three green arrows moving in a triangle? Explain that to a child. Where are those arrows going? Why are they doing that? I'm going with Shel Silverstein. Oh, no, I'm looking up his headshot. He's always wearing a shirt. Okay, I was wrong.
No, there was a strange... He definitely was not wearing a shirt in some of those. There's one where he's like leaning back, wearing a guitar, playing a guitar, and he's shirtless and shoeless for sure. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. This is where the sidewalk ends. for Dean Anderson, I'm sorry. We're going with Shel. This is where.
All right.
Okay.
This is my strongest one, I think. We've got number 8, Houston, versus number 9, Marquette.
Okay.
Here are some names that I didn't go with. Tom Snyder, host of The Tomorrow Show. Bob Odenkirk. Dan Harmon. And Chris Farley. Some heavy hitters, right? That I had to pass on. So you know who I went with? None of those guys are an author, a television personality, a fashion icon, and most importantly, have never taught me in multiple scam books how to get free money from the government. I went with Matthew Lesko, the man who wears the question mark suit and yells on daytime TV about how to get free money from the government.
Wow. Okay. That's a strong choice right there.
Very good. That's very good. And look, I'm the University of Houston. I had some choices. Old Sheldon himself, Jim Parsons, Chameleonaire, Robert Arliss Wool. But after this week, I couldn't help but pick my man, the gambler himself. Technically the gambler's friend, Kenny Rogers.
Oh, wow. I mean, this is a tough one. I mean, Matthew Lesko.
Dresses like the Riddler.
He dresses like the Riddler. He looks like he was, like, raised, like, alone in a toy store for 12 years. You know, like, he was just, instead of being raised by wolves, he was just... raised by like Connect Four or something, and that's a wild energy that I can respect. But Kenny Rogers is a true American. RIP, died last week. We got to give it to Kenny. He's a sentimental choice. He is the Kobe Bryant of this bracket. We're going with Kenny on this front.
Okay, so that ends the first round in a shocking upset, only because Kenny Rogers died. If this had happened a week ago, Matthew Lesko certainly would have won.
This just in. Matthew Lesko passes away this morning from the coronavirus. Oh my God, we're gonna go! No, I'm just kidding.
Upset City!
Okay.
All right. That brings us to Kenny. I'm gonna say the hardest matchup of this side of the bracket so far. You have Shel Silverstein, the man who wrote A Boy Named Sue, versus Harry Dean Stanton, the star of Repo Man.
This is very tough, but I mean, Shel Silverstein is a huge part of my childhood and my love of reading and my imagination. And I'm going to have to go with Shel. I'm going to go with Shel on this one.
He's going far.
Far.
All right. Then that brings us to Tom Arnold versus Zach Galifianakis' brother, Nick Galifianakis.
No, it's his uncle. It's his uncle.
His uncle, sorry.
Oh, man, this is tough. This is a sad one. This is a sad one. This is like one of those games where they only score 4 points.
Yeah.
And it's a final. Let's see, you know, Nick's only really famous he did his own thing, but he's only in here because Zach is his nephew or whatever. I'm going to go with Tom Arnold. I'm going to go with Tom.
That does feel like when you're like really rooting for an upset and then the second round happens and you have to watch a 12 and 13 play each other. Yeah. Like, oh no. These teams suck.
Yeah, I know. That's rough. All right. Okay. Well,
next comes our far and away, our weirdest matchup. We have Kim Deal from the Pixies and the Breeders versus James Patterson, not the author, but the founder of Long John Silver's.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God, this is so difficult. But if I had to pick one over the other, I mean, to be in the Pixies, to leave the Pixies, and then go on to be in the Breeders. I mean, a Kim Deal forever. I think it's going to be tough to beat Kim Deal. Yeah.
All right.
Kelly Deal, tougher. Kim. Okay.
Then this is our biggest blowout of the entire tournament, I think. We have Jeff Dunham versus Kenny Rogers.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. Kenny Rogers is almost like, my pick for him was so sentimental, but it's also like, if you ever watch like American Idol and they have someone come in and, you know, they have, maybe they have like three eyeballs on one side of their face and they're missing the lower half of their body and they're, and so they move on to the next round, you know, because they sang Yellow Submarine through a kazoo, you know, and you're like, well, I guess we're going to give it to them. But then they get to the next round and the person in the next round is singing with racist puppets against them. I'm going to give it to the racist puppets every day. Like, I don't agree with them, but I don't have to agree with them to be entertained.
All right.
I don't mean.
So is that Dunham moving on? Is that what you're saying?
That's Jeff Dunham, baby. He's back.
Man,
Jeff Dunham.
Terry Fedor must feel terrible listening to this right now. He got knocked out in round one and Dunham's romping.
That backwash hack. Fuck that guy. That guy's Jeff Dunham's backwash, man. Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Now,
Jeff Dunham's he's in the LAX airport. He's at LaGuardia. Terry Fader's at fucking Burbank. Grow up, you loser.
All right. Next. All right. Now it's Tom Arnold versus Shel Silverstein.
Oh, man. This is, two huge. Basically, my childhood was formed by these two men. Shel Silverstein and then Tom Arnold just made me want to aspire to do drugs and marry outside of my weight class. And so that's, you learn a lot from that. And, you know, I'm going to have to go with Tom Arnold on this. I'm just going to have to go with Tom. He's doing great. He's still alive. What good can Shell do me now? I'm going with Tom.
All right. That brings us to see who's facing Tom Arnold in the Elite Eight. We've got Jeff Dunham versus Kim Deal.
Oh, see, this is tough. Okay. Well, so Kim is amazing, and I think she's an icon.
Come on.
We agree on that, right? But has she ever driving on 9, so many good songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god, Last Splash is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But has she ever, like, she had, what's her peanut? Cannonball was great, but then did they make other big videos after that?
But don't you think, like,
Is she even on Netflix? Is Kim Deal even on Netflix right now? That's my question.
Isn't This Monkey Gone to Heaven about a puppet, though?
Oh man.
Yeah, it's actually more racist. That song's about Ahmed the Dead.
Oh my god. Calling him an ape. That is messed up. Well, if you could out-racist Jeff Dunham, I'm on your side. Kim Deal's back, baby. Kim Deal is... She takes it. By a hair. Yeah.
All right, and that brings us to...
The Elite Eight.
Kim Deal versus Tom Arnold.
Oh, God. This final, is getting...
nobody saw it coming.
This is getting tougher and tougher. Well, let's see. Tom Arnold's wife files restraining order. Tom Arnold files police report. I'm looking up all these Tom Arnold things, and he's building a strong case for himself here. but I gotta go. I'm I gotta go with Kim.
I think I you're mean, right. I think that's the right choice, Chris.
I gotta go with Kim. I mean, if Tom had a stronger puppet game, maybe we'd be a little closer here, but I think Kim takes it all the way.
All right, so that sets the table for our final four, which you can...
Joey, who are the seeds?
I'm going to get there, but that... but you can vote for those on our Twitter account for the next week. From the one from the left side, we have John Tesh from Entertainment Tonight. Our podcast is named after a song he wrote. Versus Gary Webb, the reporter who uncovered that the CIA was in charge, of, was responsible for the crack cocaine epidemic. Versus David Angel, the man who created Frasier and Wings and who died in 9/11. Versus Kim Deal from the Pixies and the Breeders. So that's right. Vote for David Angel versus Kim Deal and John Tesh versus Gary Webb at Round Rock Pod on Twitter.
Man, this
one
is
of those
tough.
Will
this
be your is... college basketball champion.
It can go any way, ladies and germs. It could go any way. This is. This is scarier than the 2020 election. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited to find out.
So, yeah, your college basketball champion is either going to come from NC State, Northern Kentucky, Ohio State, or Providence. No high seeds have continued on. That's our show for today. Chris, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
thanks, guys. That was so fun. Thanks for having me.
What would you like to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at _ChrisGarcia or listen to my podcast. It's called Scatters, and it's wherever you find podcasts.
It's the best podcast of the year, and I'm including the one where we went through every NBA owner to decide if they knew Jeffrey Epstein or not.
Well, thank you. High honors.
Sean, do you have anything you would like to plug? Sean, anything you want to plug?
I'm going to have a thing on Yardbarker. We did a March Madness bracket with great NBA teams of the last two decades. And so that should be up, I think, Friday.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah. And then as for me, you can always... Oh, as for me, I was on for the third week in a row. I was in the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast. We watched all of the VH1 Divas. It's really funny, I think. But more importantly, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on 6... 28/14, I tweeted, my neck hurts. Sean, did you write a song?
I didn't this week.
What?
But that doesn't mean, that doesn't mean I don't have a song, Joey.
Oh, thank God.
This time, I'm doing a good old-fashioned cover. And it's a song that a lot of us get used to hearing in this month, and it's not going to be playing, except on Roundball Rock. Joey, I recorded a cover of One Shining Moment.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, that will be playing after this. But before we go, I should say, follow Ben Seidman on Instagram and on YouTube for all your magical needs. Follow Chris Garcia. And trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all vote for who's going to win the Final Four. And also... get Paul Millsap to get free magic coaching.
But I pity the fool.
The general idea of the CIA dealing drugs was something that the American mainstream press had never written about before.
Commissioner Silver, Brandon Scoopy Robinson Basketball Society.
Ball is tipped. There you are.
This ain't paper, this is the Broken Skull Ranch.
You're a shooting star in all the years. no one knows.
I'm Tom Odette from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Now it shows.
This is Amanda Pete. I love you so much.
In one shining moment, it's all.
We are worried that Brian Wilson is going to follow Elvis.
Frozen in time.
I'm running a live national broadcast. Can you threaten me later?
I'm Todd McFarlane, and I created Spawn.
Time is short, and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, oh, that moment's gone. And when it's done, we don't lose.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. Welcome home again.
'Cause inside you knew the one shining moment you reached deep inside. One shining moment you knew you were alive.
Hey, I want to dance with somebody.
I'm a slice of gabagool.
The beat of your heart, feel the wind.
My name is Jimmy Wales.
It's more than a contest, it's more than a race.
You know that Nike shoes, Apple computer, and even H. Ross Perot have used government money programs to help make their millions, and you can too.
Then one shining moment.
Hi, this is a message for me about the NBA theme. Here's an idea. It goes like this.
One shining moment you were willing to try. One shining moment you knew. One shining moment.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.